Grace and peace to you this morning, my friends. I am, by nature, a little anxious around some things. Busy weekends and trying to plan for an outdoor service and then watching the weather forecast as it progresses day by day, get a little cloudier, a little chance of wetter, and so it goes. And then in the afternoon yesterday, of course, you received the reminder at 1 o'clock about the outdoor service, and then about 1:42 in the afternoon, an email from me that I sent from the office saying, nope, just can't do it. The rain is coming. Give me 5 minutes alone with my thoughts, and I swear I can construct an entire disaster movie complete with a soundtrack out of absolutely nothing but stress. I know you were blessed with Chuck's message last week. Thank you. What a gift, Chuck, you are, and for this church, and for the work that God calls you to do, and for that I am grateful. As I returned from my brief reprieve over last weekend, it was not without disaster. I pulled into the driveway, got out of my car, and something smells. I opened the garage door and, ooh, smells a little more. Then I opened the door from my garage into the house and, oh, it was like a gut punch skunk stank. My heart sank. Instant stress. And like any suspense film, you could hear the anxiety-producing music as I slowly stepped to open up that garage door. The knowledge that one of my dogs met a skunk sometime earlier that morning, of course, while I wasn't home. It's the disaster that keeps on giving. In my investigation, as the smell became stronger, so too did my level of anxiety. If you're anything like me, you don't need Jesus to introduce you to anxiety. You already have a long-standing relationship with it. What we need is Jesus to introduce us to something else. And that's exactly what he does in our gospel reading today. Let's go there to this passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet our heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, breathe into us your spirit, we pray, that these words from my mouth and the meditations of my heart may be wholly acceptable to you and to find a home in the hearts of these, your beloved. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Jesus tells the crowd, in essence, not to worry about their lives, what they'll eat, drink or what they wear. He points them towards the birds of the air who neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. And then a few verses later, he asks them to notice the lilies of the field, which grow without spinning a single thread of cloth, and yet even Solomon, King Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of those flowers. It's a wonderfully backhanded compliment to King Solomon, like Jesus saying, "Nice robe, Solomon, but have you seen a wildflower?" I don't think Jesus is telling us that responsibility doesn't matter, or that planning ahead is a sin. He worked as a carpenter. He knew about measuring twice and cutting once. What he's naming is something more specific. It's exhausting, circular kind of worry that adds nothing to our lives except more worry. As he puts it so simply, can any of us, by worrying, add a single hour to our span of life? Friends, I have never once worried my way into an extra hour. I have, however, worried my way out of a good night's sleep last night, which is the opposite of the intended effect. As Robert J. Hastings writes in his short essay, one of my favorites, The Station, "Regret and fear are twin thieves that would rob us of today." Now, to understand why Jesus reaches for birds and wildflowers as his sermon illustrations, we have to go back to the very beginning, to Genesis. In the beginning, we're told that God created the heavens and the earth, and then day by day, God fills that empty canvas with living things, the waters teeming with creatures, birds set to fly across the dome of the sky, and every kind of animal. Love the description. Cattle, wild beasts, my favorite phrase, creeping things. Boy, that can go anywhere, can't it? Brought forth from the earth, God looks at the birds and the fish and the livestock, and God calls them good. Not useful, not background scenery for the human drama, but good. Full stop, on their own terms, they are good. And this is why today we bless our animals, all the animals. Because if God thought enough of the sparrows, the goldfish, the family dog snoring under the pew right now, to call them good on day 5 and day 6 before humanity even shows up in the story, then our pets and livestock and creatures are not an afterthought to God's love. They are part of the original blessing. When we recognize the critters that we love, when we bless these animals, we are not performing for just a cute photo op, something to post in social feeds. Although I will admit the sight of our pets does improve any liturgy. We are declaring with God that these creatures are good. And notice something lovely in the text from Genesis. God gives humankind dominion over the fish and the birds and every living thing, but dominion in God's hands always means care, not conquest. Dominion in God's hands means care, not conquest. God rules the cosmos not by hoarding it, but by feeding it, tending it, calling it good, and resting in it. If that's what dominion looks like from God, that's what it should look like from us. Which brings us, strangely enough, to the table. Every time we come to Holy Communion, we are doing in miniature what Jesus describes in Matthew 6. We are admitting with empty, open hands that we cannot feed ourselves. Not really, not ultimately. We come forward not because we've earned the meal, but because the table has been set for us. The way the meadow is dressed in lilies. Bread and cup freely given. It's the birds of the air and the flowers of the field turned into something we can taste. It's Genesis 2, the same God who spoke abundance into empty space now speaks it into a piece of bread in your hand, filling your spiritual belly. So here's my invitation for you this week. When the worry starts running its familiar loop, the bills, the job, can I retire? Diagnosis, pending surgeries, healing, everything that the future might toss at us. Tarek Skubal going to the Dodgers. Just try to look out the window. Watch a bird for 30 seconds. Not because that solves your problem, but because it reteaches your soul what your Father already knows, that you are fed, that you are clothed, that you are held. Strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Consider the birds. Bless the animals. Come to the table. And let worry about itself. It's not nearly as good at it as we are. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.